This is Pastor Emring. Beginning here is the first of a series of 5 radio broadcasts I did in the spring of 1977 on the Indian land claims. In order to get these on this and the next cassette tape, a few minutes of literature offerings will be removed and the radio introduction and close. Otherwise, the entire radio series will be on this and the next tape. The series ends rather abruptly, as we were beginning to get trouble through the radio stations. One canceled us in Tulsa, Oklahoma, after a direct Indian objection, and I thought it prudent to go to another subject at that time in order to stay on the radio. Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emring, and today we are going to discuss a problem in America that will affect millions of our citizens, including many of my listeners, in the coming months and years. It, like all of America's problems, has a biblical solution, but no one yet suggests we seek the solution there. I am speaking of the water, land, and money claims now being made for the Indians against the whites. As most of my listeners know by now, Indians all over America are declaring they have the right to large land areas, and the United States government has stated it is on the side of the Indians. You might want to call a friend to listen, because you or they may very well find your home, your farm, or your business property claimed by some tribe you never even heard of, and you'll find the government paying all of the expenses to prosecute the case you must defend at your own expense. And by the way, they do not plan to pay you for your property. I've already had many laugh at these claims and say, oh, if they take my house or farm, the government will have to pay it before they give it to the Indians. No, my friends, they do not plan to do that, and I will be reading details in a case already filed in federal court to prove the plan is not to pay you for your land. You'll just be told to move. Now, if you are still interested, and if you still believe Pastor Emory when he says God Almighty has an answer in His Word for this strange situation, then you stay with me. We have no other source of strength. We have no other source of wisdom. We have no other source of deliverance. We have no other power except the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, God always warned His people that until they turned to Him in obedience to His laws, that trouble would be their lot. In Ezekiel 7, there is a specific warning to Israel that when their land is full of bloody crimes, and when they worship false gods, and when they continue to violate His law, verse 4, "Mine eye will not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee." That same warning is repeated in verse 9. And we read in verse 15, "The sword is without," meaning war is imminent, "and the pestilence and the famine within." In verse 21, speaking of the land that they are in disobedience, "And I will give it into the hands of the strangers, to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they shall loot it." Verse 24, "Wherefore, because of all of this evil and sin of the Israel people, wherefore, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses." A clear warning from God that when we will not honor His word and His law, God would actually allow the heathen to take possession of our homes and of our land. Now, there are those who laugh at such things and say, oh, God would never do such a thing. But think, this is I am talking about. We're aliens to our houses and our farms and our property, and our own government is working to see that they get them. And notice those phrases repeated in verse 4 and verse 9. "I will recompense thy ways upon thee." Millions of Americans sit idly by and have no care that their own tax money is being used by their own government on the side of the Red Communists in Rhodesia and South Africa for the specific purpose of driving the white out of their homes, farms, and businesses in those two nations. Is God a just God or is he not? If we drive out others of our own race out of their homes, will God see that we are driven from ours? You think about that and stay tuned to this broadcast. God has a controversy with Zion, and you are living in it. You had better heed what says. In Amos 3:7, we have the promise, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his unto his servants the prophets. And Jesus Christ told his 15th chapter of John just before his crucifixion that he would send the Holy Spirit, and he told them what the Holy Spirit would do. Verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. So let us take God at his word and find out what is in store for America in these strange and terrible times. For the prophecy is there and the solution. First, I want to offer our packet of literature for our radio audience. These monthly packets are free. You can write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And I'll repeat that address again a little later. The May packet, which you will receive, includes my booklet, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. This is one of several of our publications giving the historical and biblical proof that these so-called Gentiles were actually the descendants of dispersed Israel, that they were in Europe centuries before the time of Christ, that it was to them that Jesus sent his disciples, and since those people were Israelites, and we are their offspring, then we are Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, God's chosen people. I've covered this in some detail in the last several broadcasts, and in fact, you will see that the claims now being made by the Indians for American territory make sense only when you know America is the great Zion of Bible prophecy. All of the heathen of the world are being gathered against Zion for the last battle according to the prophecies. But you should write and obtain this May packet and read Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free May literature. You'll also receive our last monthly newsletter. We've also a little more information on the swine flu vaccine and the measles and mumps vaccinations now being given to several tens of millions of American school children. A week or so ago, a 17-year-old girl died supposedly of swine flu, the first swine flu death this year. Supposedly, one died in 1976. So, of the 180 million Americans who did not get vaccinated for swine flu, only two died. But of the 40 million who did get vaccinated, almost 1,000 were paralyzed and several hundred died. In other words, the danger from the vaccine is about 50 to 100 times greater than the danger from the disease itself. Under what the odds are on the measles and mumps vaccine. Our newsletter also carries a report of our 2 weeks this spring talking to congressmen, also information on our Bible conference and Bible camp in Arizona in June. Or is in our free May packet. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Back to the Indian and related problems. And remember verses I read where God said he would bring the worst of the heathen and they would possess our home if they refused to obey his word. First, some of the problems and the claims, and then to Bible prophecy. Most Americans know that Indians in Maine have filed claims on about 58% of the state. They originally claimed the land, now they want the land and $25 billion in rent for the last 200 years. The Indians total 3,500 and the whites 350,000 in that territory and the other side of the Indians. Our rulers are very consistent in every case, whether in Rhodesia or in Maine against the Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples. The Maine claims would total $6 million per Indian. A family of four would receive $24 million in land and money if it carries this through, and supposedly the white residents could then either leave or for the Indians as tenant farmers or employees. Similar claims are now being filed all over America. Here in Arizona, attorneys for Indians stated they intend to file for payment of all of Arizona from Prescott South, including Phoenix and Tucson, and west to Yuma on the California border. That is an area representing about 95% of all of the usable land in the state. On May 19th, our Phoenix paper reported that federal authorities now claim Indian reservations can have however much water they want for irrigating land on the reservations, regardless of prior use by whites downstream. The article explains this could mean shutting off water to white-owned farms and ranches, even though they may have used water for 50 to 100 years, if the Indians claim they need it. Now, the government will transfer water already here from the whites to the Indians. Little of this is being read in the press, and meanwhile, the Indians are being agitated by outsiders. 3 weeks ago, a few miles from our home, Indians saw white boys floating down the Salt River on inner tubes, a sport engaged in by hundreds of young people every weekend for many years, the Salt River. Just 10 miles from our home, the Indians have begun putting blockades across the roads leading through the Indian reservation to homes and government lands beyond and charging so much per car for passage. A few days ago, Salt River Reservation Indians just of Southdale announced they would block off the side of Pima Road because the whites had not paid for permission to trek. Pima Road is one of the main thoroughfares north and south for Scottsdale residents and has been there for many years. A year ago, the Arizona State Supreme Court ruled that Indian reservations were sovereign territories in the state and the laws cannot be enforced on the reservation. Law officers have agreed that seems to mean an Indian could commit a crime off the flee to the reservation, and unless the tide punished the offender, he would go unpunished. Similar cases are pending before courts in other states. Even our newspaper, which usually ignores such things, editorialized that what the Supreme Court had done was run nations out of the Indian reservations. Then how come, if Indians were citizens of separate sovereign territories, that they still vote in U.S. elections? So what we seem to have is an attempt by the Indians, by people in the U.S. government, to force individuals, communities, and states to turn land over to Indian tribes to make those areas separate and sovereign, and therefore foreign nations right inside the United States of America. Does the Bible have anything to say about such a situation? Yes, it does. Turn with me to Ezekiel 35 and 36. In the first verses of Ezekiel 35, God identifies the adversary as Mount Seir, S-E-I-R, And I'll not take the time to explain that on radio. I did it in my church sermon, but they can be shown to be the enemies of Christian America. Anyway, and these enemies of Israel America. Verse 10. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. These two countries I identify in my sermon as the United States and Canada. Verse 12, still speaking to the enemy. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies spoken against the mountains of Israel. They are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. God is here condemning these people for wanting to consume or eat or destroy God's two nations. In the first part of Ezekiel 36, the adversary, or Mount Seir, is further identified, and then God speaks directly to the two Israel nations, to America and to Canada. Verse 3 and 4. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate, or the enemy has made you desolate, and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of the talkers, and are an infamy of the people, and of course we are. We Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and Germanic peoples are being blamed for all the ills of the world. We are taken up in the lips of the talkers, we are an infamy of the people. Verse 4, therefore, ye mountains, or ye nations of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the rivers, and to the valleys, to the desolate waste, and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and a derision to the residue of the heathen that are around about. And here is that phrase again, the residue of the heathen, or the remnant of the peoples who were in the land when you Israelites took possession. Verse 5. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen and against all Edomia. And here is another word identifying the enemy, and Bible students should know then for Edom, and Edom means red in bone. And against all the Reds, which have appointed my land into their possession, with the joy of all their heart, and with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. To cast it out for a prey means to destroy it, or take it apart for plunder. Now the rest of that chapter shows how this situation will be resolved, which we get into later. But you can see the plunder involved here. 3,500 Indians in Maine are demanding the land and property of 350,000 white Israelites, not only for free, but are in addition asking that $25 billion be levied against the whites as possession of the land. Forces are at work in America, trying to divide our nation into thousands of pieces, to fragment and destroy as much of it as possible, that it might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and to appoint God's land into their possession, with the joy of all their hearts, with despiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. One specific case in Minnesota is an example of how they intend to devour and eat up the present possessors of land, charge them for their occupancy on it, and then turn the land over to the residue of the heathen. This is from the Thief River Falls Times of Thief River, Minnesota, dated April 11, 1977. On the front page is a picture of a farmer standing in an open field of grass, and the headline reads, Farmer Faces $30,000 Lawsuit. Under the picture, it gives his name, which I will not use. I'll substitute the word farmer for it. And there it says this, quote, a farmer received a summons from the United States Department of Interior, which, in addition to ordering him a parcel of land he thought he owned in Section 22 of Mayfield Township, set a judgment of $30,000 against him. The government claims that the land rightfully belongs to the Red Lake Band of Tua Indians, and that the farmer owes that amount for depriving the Indians of it from the land. Among other things, the farmer is baffled at the size of the judgment, since a large portion of the land is swampy terrain, which has been of little value to him in the 10 years he has owned it. End of quote. Then the article goes on to say he paid only $500 for the 40 acres of swampland for pasture 10 years ago. Now, the government says he must not only give up the 40 acres, but pay the Indians $30,000 for having kept it from their possession for those 10 years. The article is quite long, but ends this way, quote, "He may not be the only one. There have been rumors of similar suits pending in Kitson and Model counties," end of quote. So there you have the plan of the government, not only to take the land from the white owners, but to put judgments against them for 50 to 100 times what the land is worth. The farmer faced losing an almost worthless 40 acres of swampland, but if he loses the court case and the judgment is established against him, he will probably have to sell or have sold for him by the sheriff the rest of his farm, and if that isn't enough, will have to work and pay his wages to the Indians for years to come. And believe it or not, in case you missed that, the suit is filed against the government, or perhaps I should say, by men who have secretly captured the and are now using it to destroy our people and our nation. Was God talking to us when he said to the prophet Ezekiel of Israel's land, "And I will give it into the hands of the stranger for a prey, and to the wicked spoil, and they shall pollute it? And wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses." I believe that he was. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Next week, God willing, we will go back in the Old Testament to Israel history, and we will find that ancient Israel faced exactly the same situation we face with the Indians. Claims were made by the Canaanites for return of the land Israel took from them when Israel came out of Egypt, and it gives Israel's answer to them. The situation is a parallel and holds a lesson for America today. Paul wrote that the Old Testament was written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Meanwhile, write for our free May packet and read my booklet, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. I not only give the biblical and historical proof of our identity as the Israel of God, but also identify our enemies, those called in Ezekiel 36, Mount Seir, and Idumea, for they are already in our land, and they are very definitely involved in this plan to divide up and plunder our nation. You'll also receive our literature order blank, which includes several articles on the swine flu and other vaccinations. Every Christian in America should investigate for himself these vaccines which are being injected into our people by the same government, let me repeat, by the same government that is now filing claims against our people to dispossess them of their homes and farms. It hardly makes sense that men who are working so hard to destroy us financially and as a people would try to keep us healthy and safe from disease. You think on that for a moment. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The May packet is free. If you want the cassette sermon, "Will They Divide Up America?" you will have to ask for it by title. It is not included in the regular packet. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America. God told our Israel forefathers through the prophet Ezekiel that one of the things that would happen to our people for their refusal to obey God's law, statutes, and judgments would be that the heathen would actually take our land and our houses away from us. Part of that last week in Ezekiel 35 and 36, three times in Ezekiel 36, God says the land of Israel would become a prey and the residue of the heathen. In Ezekiel 7, God said, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess your houses. Is this what is happening through the Indian claims to our land? Our own government, working on the side of the Indians to take homes, farms, and businesses away from the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and kindred peoples and give them to natives. If you will stay tuned to this broadcast, we will go on further in our comparison of the Indian claims to what God prophesied would actually happen to the United States of America in the end of this age. Here in Arizona, a number of things are happening, including the United States Congress requiring the federal government to purchase several hundred square miles of southwestern Arizona, shut all water to the area, move all of the white people out, and divert the irrigation water to Indian reservations in other parts of the state. There are about 150 farms and ranches in that area, plus several towns. All of the citrus and the farm crops would be left to that would end food production in several hundred square miles of presently irrigated land. While you are getting your Bible, I will offer our free literature packet for the month of June. It includes my book, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. I am going to repeat the May literature in the June packet. For of all of the literature on America's Promise radio broadcast, that booklet is one of the most important for our Christian Israel brethren in America to read. It not only demonstrates the truth that our race, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples of Europe are the literal, physical descendants of the scattered tribes of Israel, but it goes into some detail as to who the enemies of our people are, who it is, who is scheming through politics, through economics, through mental and social propaganda, and even through the use of red communism, to destroy and bring down our race and our nation. It identifies those who are trying to keep our race in ignorance of our own origin, our own connection with the Bible, and our promised future. And in my book on Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, I show how God's Word has prophesied all that has come to pass, all that is now coming to pass, and tells us the final conclusion of history, that conclusion which is now almost upon us. Solomon wrote, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. He asked the question, among ye simple ones will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. In Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. We Christians have been propagandized to some ignorance of the world, and ignorance of scientific and historical truths is somehow a sign of spirituality. But Solomon warned us that ignorance just indicates we are foolish. Sit down right now and write to me for a June packet. I'll send you my booklet, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, Missionaries to the Gentiles. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. That's America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. There are a few other items in the packet also, including a copy of the newspaper article about the farmer in Minnesota who has been sued by the United States government for $30,000 because they claim 40 acres of worthless swamp land he owns should belong to the Indians. The packet also includes our last newsletter, which has more information on the government's continuing effort to inject vaccine poison into the American people. And that reminds me, I should correct a statement I made last week. I said that of the 180 million Americans who had not had the swine vaccine, only 2 had died of the swine flu, and of the 40 million who had been vaccinated, over 1,000 had been paralyzed, and 700 had died, and therefore I said the vaccine was 50 to 100 times as dangerous as the disease. Well, all of the figures on the death and paralysis were right, but my mathematics were wrong. I should have said the vaccine was 500, not 50, 500 to 1,000 times as dangerous as the disease. In other words, those who got the swine vaccine, 500 times more likely to die of it or to die of the flu. And our latest information indicates the government is going to try to scare the rest of you into getting vaccine this fall. Information on that is in our newsletter in the June packet. All right, now to consider the Indian claims our land in comparison to the Bible. Last week we read in Ezekiel 35 and 36, at the end of this age, the heathen and antichrist people in Israel's land would attempt to divide up and take possession of Israel. You should read all of those 2 chapters, especially the first 5 verses in Ezekiel 36, where it speaks of the residue of the heathen. There are apparently 2 enemies of Israel spoken of in those 2 chapters. One is called the heathen, and the other, Mount Seir and Idumea. Both of those last titles of Edom, or the Edomites, who were the descendants of the intermarriage between Jacob's brother Esau, who lived in Mount Seir, not the American Indians, but they are a people who would side with any enemy of true Israel. And in the last chapter of my book, Paul and Joseph of Arimathea, I identify them so you know who they are. In America, you should write for it and read it. In verse 5 of Ezekiel 35, God says he is against the people of Mount Seir or Idumea, quote, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, or the margin says, because thou hast had a hatred of old, and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. So they are ancient enemies of Israel, and we can know who they are only from ancient sources, from the ancient books of the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Judges. This is a book of the history of the Israel people in the centuries after they came out of Egypt. Paul wrote in the New Testament about this ancient Israel history in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In modern English, Paul says, the history of Israel's experiences were written down so that we who live at the end of the age can learn from them. In Romans 15 and verse 4, Paul says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Our Christian forefathers in America understood this, and were great preachers and teachers of the Old Testament, because they knew it was a source of wisdom for us. But today, we seem almost to have a conspiracy among our preachers to get us to put aside and ignore and not read the Old Testament. The result is we do not read it, we do not partake of its wisdom, and we are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. We lack the knowledge we should have and could have if we read the Old Testament scriptures. All right, Judges 10 and Judges 11. This is an historical event, and it parallels exactly our present dilemma with the native Indian inhabitants of America who are coming to us and demanding their land back, and we should learn from it. Judges 10, verse 6, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him." So here we have that recurring problem in Israel, where they turn from their own God and pay honor and obeisance to the gods of the people of the land. Verse 7, "And the anger of the Lord was hot and into the hands of the children of Ammon." So God gives Israel into the hands of the people whose gods they worship, and the Philistines and the Ammonites gained ascendancy or control over the Israelites. Now before we read on here in Judges, let's make a little further comparison to our own time and to our own nation. Unknown to many good Christians, we, as a people, are serving and paying homage to the same gods mentioned in verse 6 of Judges 10. It mentions Balaam and Ashtaroth. In my book, Is Christmas Christian?, I point out that Ashtaroth was the wife of Baal, and she was considered the female god of Canaanite. They prayed to her, they offered sacrifices to her, and they even sacrificed their own children to her. Every year, right here in America and among our brethren in Europe, at what we call Christmas time, millions of Mary and Jesus, but any good church history will tell you that our colonial forefathers and the great men of the Christian Reformation of Europe refused any such celebration as Christmas, claiming that the woman and the little baby really represented Ashtaroth and the reincarnation of her husband Baal as the figures of the mystery religion of Babylon. They not only refused to observe Christmas, but they actually set up civil penalties in the early American colonies for anyone who observed December 25th, Christmas. In fact, our secular version with the rabbits and the eggs is actually a replay of ancient Babylon. The name Easter comes from the name Ashtaroth or Astarte, as the Greeks called her. I am not referring to the remembrance we Christians pay to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am referring here to the non-Christian rituals played out by millions of unsuspecting children as they search for Easter eggs hid by the Easter bunny. Baal religion, the worship of Ashtaroth, was a phallic or a sex religion. The rabbit and the egg were fertility symbols representing the sex act, and they played a very important part in the worship of Ashtaroth. Now, in another way, perhaps not even known to our people, we also pay homage to Baal and Ashtaroth on an official government level. I have in front of me a newspaper article of just a few weeks ago headlined, "Goddess Ashtar Takes Place at the United Nations." Quote, "As if to symbolize the behavior and beliefs of the majority of the delegations here, the United Nations last week officially welcomed into its temple structure an ancient idolatrous deity, the goddess Ashtar, Ashtart or Ashtaroth, the Philistine Phoenician goddess of fertility and of sexual love. The sculptured gift, a replica of an original dating back to the 2nd century, was presented to Secretary General of the United Nations Waldheim by the Syrian ambassador to the UN at a special ceremony in the hallway between the conference building and the General Assembly Hall, where it will be on display." The article goes on, "Two other ancient idols have found an honored place here in the UN. A year ago, the Egyptian government presented to the Secretary General a 2,700-year-old statuette of Osiris, the Egyptian god of the underworld. This deity graces the entrance to the General Assembly Hall. Some years back, the Greek government presented a life-size statue of Zeus, chief of the Olympian gods and husband of Hera. That impressive nude figure dominates the main public lobby. And then the article goes on to tell about Ashtaroth being mentioned many times in the Bible as one of the false gods worshipped by the Israelites when they turned to the Canaanite gods. So, the United Nations, which is in reality the government of the world, dominating even our own government, open places as objects of veneration and worship here in America statues of Ashtaroth, of Osiris, and of Zeus. Zeus, as some of you students of ancient history would know, is actually the Greek god. So now, both Baal and his wife Ashtaroth are in places of honor at the United Nations building, and by our participation and by our allowing those things to be worshipped here on American soil and by tens of thousands of ministers, yes, ministers, telling us we should stay in the United Nations, America has become